back to another episode of Random Chatter. We're recording this on Monday, July 31st, 2017. This is, I'm just going to call this the new one because I'm not sure what number we're on. We were
good
one
plan.
Off, I guess. Chris was telling us we were one off. Somebody said maybe the movie draft one got in there and screwed things up where we didn't number that one. So this is probably 147. That's what we're going to go with. But
we don't need no stinking numbers.
That's right. We're beyond numbers now.
All in favor of 147, say aye.
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 Motion passes. Okay, good.
There
147.
Go.
I'm sure Chris will say, no, you're not. You're 148 or something.
But, too bad, Chris. Get over
we're
it.
We're going with that one. The two voices you guys hear there are my two co-hosts. We have Lizzie. How are you tonight?
Good evening, everybody. I'm lovely.
Awesome. And we have Tim, of course. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing pretty darn well. Yourself?
I am doing great. Had a good weekend with no humidity up here in the Northeast. And
What's that like?
Oh, I know. It's awesome. It's awesome.
It was, for once, beautiful up here.
Florida doesn't know what that means.
You know, I lived in Florida for a few years myself, and I think that the humidity is less impactful down there than it is up here in the Northeast. I don't know. It seems like it's more oppressive up here.
Yeah, well,
maybe it's just because when you're down there.
It's true.
Okay, like, I don't know if it was just me or not, because when I was down there, maybe you were just in it every day. It was 95 and humid, but up here it just seemed like it's so much worse. I don't know.
I think partly because you get used to it down here, and up there you do have seasons. So
it's true. It's
you're
true.
Like, oh, there's something different, and down here, like, whatever, this is all there is.
Yeah, I was able to go outside and cook on the egg and do some outdoor cooking and not sweat to death out there. I was all set.
Yeah.
Did some beef kebabs, did some beef tips. I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Oh, very nice. Good for you. My stepson's birthday was this weekend, and he wanted pulled pork, so I had a big pork butt in the smoker going all
sweet.
Day on Saturday. So, yeah.
Aw, birthday. Happy birthday, Tim, stepson.
Now, Tim, I need to ask you this, because last week we kind of butted heads on a movie.
Yep.
And I think we both saw the same movie this weekend.
Yes, we did.
Okay. What did you think of Atomic Blonde?
I loved it.
Okay. Okay.
Loved it.
I think we're on the same page then. This is good.
Yeah. I was so excited about this movie. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah, I have lots to talk about, but we might save that for a different podcast.
Yeah, I think you probably should. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I definitely encourage you to go out to see it. It has a big 80s nostalgia aspect to it, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
If you grew up, you know, what I did in the 80s, you get the music, you kind of see what's going on. I was like, that's cool. It wasn't over the top amazing for me as far as the spy part of the story goes. It was told differently than I'm used to seeing spy stuff being told, like, you know, Jason Bourne or James Bond, that kind of stuff. But it was definitely awesome in its own right. So I definitely recommend it.
Well, and it had so many elements of Bond and Bourne, and I mean, John Wick for the fight scenes. The fight scenes were just fast and just gritty and desperately violent.
The fight scenes had me exhausted for a while. I was like,
the movie was a little bit of a slow build, but once it got to where it was going, it was very, very compelling. And yeah, I love the 80s German punk vibe to it. You know, the Cold War stuff was really compelling. I think that, you know, we can definitely dive back into some Cold War stuff because we haven't seen that for a while. You know, Bond used to kind of be the mainstay for Cold War stuff. And with Daniel Craig, we're past that.
Yeah.
And Jason Bourne is more modern day also. But it had a flow very similar to the Bourne movies. And it had this Cold War thing of the older Bond movies. But it was still very much its own thing, and Charlize Theron was just freaking amazing. Go see this movie, people. Lizzie, Liz.
Hi.
You need to see the movie. Yeah, you need to see this.
I know I'm going
this.
To. I've been in like a bubble this week. So,
yeah, I know.
But it's on my list. It's like top on my list. I cannot wait to see it. I'm so excited. I'm sad it didn't do a little better at the box office, but that's okay. Maybe it'll have a slow build.
Yeah.
And you know, I can't wait. I love Charlize. I'm like hashtag life goals. Everything Charlize.
Yeah, Charlize. She was phenomenal in this movie. She did a great job with it. She really sold me on her as that. And in fact, before the movie came out, people were talking about her being, you know, the first female Bond. I'm like, no. I want her to be Lorraine. You know, come back and do this again. I mean, and she doesn't need to be James Bond.
Can't she be her own thing?
Right. Yeah. I mean,
that's what we talked about. It needs to be its own thing, and this can be its own thing.
Absolutely.
Yep. I'm afraid they may have painted themselves in a corner with that whole, you know, time aspect of it, because I'm not sure they can really pull off another Cold War-esque story.
Charlize out.
Yeah, my wife and I were talking about the same thing, that they should have done it before. I don't think we're spoiling anything here.
Okay, don't give any
spoilers. It's pretty apparent that this is done around the time of the fall of the Berlin Wall. And if they did it earlier, they would have positioned themselves, I think, a little bit better. But there's nothing that says that they can't do prequels to this either.
Yeah.
Well, also, post-fall of Berlin Wall is an interesting time period. You know what I mean? There's still a lot of things that go on that are interesting to explore that maybe other movies haven't explored. Because the Cold War is so enticing, they skipped the post-Cold War era.
Yeah. Well, and the Cold War still continued for a time after the fall of the Berlin Wall. So.
Right. That was like the beginning of the end. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I guess that's a good thing to lead right into our movies last week, the box office results. So doing this on Monday, we have the actual results from the weekend. Dunkirk, for the second week in a row, has topped the box office, made another $26 million on the weekend.
For that makes total Lou happy.
101. Yeah, you know, somebody else is asking me in Slack about this movie, and I said, "Oh yeah, Dunkirk." It's in D-U-N-G. I'm like,
it's I didn't spell that wrong. Movie.
Okay, fine.
You are alone, clearly, in that thought, Lou.
Alone. I don't think Chris is totally on board with it either, but I haven't talked to him about this in depth yet. But
yeah, Chris was actually fairly critical of it too. I mean, it has some very unique direction and writing. And there's some discussion over the characterization that people didn't really link up with the characters, which I understand, because I think the focus of this film was on the era and not the characters. The characters were just simply there as vehicles to tell the story. And I mean, I guess they are in every film, but it wasn't about the characters for Dunkirk. It was about the masses. And rescuing the masses. So, it was a very, very unique take, which is what I liked about it. I mean, that's what drew me into it.
Okay.
Well, your lack of
when you have
money,
your movie Rampage show, is I want to be on. I really do.
You're going to be on it. But your lack of extra money clearly didn't hurt it, so.
No, it's still doing well, and I'm glad to see that it is, because then Christopher Nolan will give us more movies, and I like most of the stuff he's done now, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Number two was the Emoji Movie.
WTF, yo.
All right. we just have to stop here for a moment, and we're going to fast forward to the What Were They Thinking segment of the Random Chatter Show. $24.5 million in the first week of the Emoji people.
It's the only kid movie out right now. No, you have to think about that.
Huge for an animated movie either.
I am sorry, North American society. I don't freaking understand you. You came
You're
in
forgetting
second
children
in the box office take with the Emoji Movie. That is insane.
I want Atomic Blonde to do way better than it too, but you're forgetting that it's the only kid movie out right now, and it's still summer break.
Yeah,
this would have been the perfect time for Not Job 2. I mean, they missed their market.
I had a feeling this was going to do better than everybody was thinking it was going to do. And not that I think it's an amazing movie. I haven't seen it. Somebody at work I talked to did say they brought their kid to see it, and they said it was actually pretty cute, pretty funny. Mm-hmm. I guess Patrick Stewart did a great job as the poop emoji. There's a phrase I never thought I'd say. You know, it is what it is. I mean, it's topical. It's there. It's in your face. I mean, I don't know what the story is and how well the story was, you know, portrayed on screen, but you know, it was bound to do well.
You know what's funny is I didn't see one commercial for this movie.
Oh, I haven't seen. I saw tons of commercials for this movie.
I haven't seen anywhere. I mean, I watch Hulu, but I haven't seen any. Yeah. I haven't seen any. I don't think I've even seen the trailer. I know that Sir Patrick Stewart is the poop emoji, but that's all I know about it.
Can I just bring up here, though, that Joel has both Dunkirk and the Emoji Movie in the draft?
Oh, crap.
Yeah, I got to update the movie draft. I figured we'd give it a few weeks till it got into it. I will. It'll get out there. But I want to give it a few weeks till a couple of these were out there, so one person wasn't running away with it being one movie only. But now that we're about a month into the movies coming out, I'll get it updated and get them up on the screen so people can see where we're at. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays out because it was some really weird buys in this movie
looking
draft.
Looking at you, Tim.
I'm looking at you, Tim. Yeah, exactly. Nut job, too.
Nut job.
Job will do just fine. Thank you very much.
It missed its chance. In a couple weeks, kids are back at school, so.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's going to play big with the, 29 to 50-year-olds, too, I think, right?
Nut job? Oh, yeah. That is its target demographic, of course.
Of course, of course. Okay, so, yeah, Emoji Movie did $24 million at number two. Just $2 million behind Dunkirk. That's pretty surprising.
That is so surprising. Girls
Trip 2? No, surprising is not the word. Disappointing is the word.
I think Tim's lost faith in humanity.
We are disappointed in you. I am disappointed. I will not even cast this on you guys. I will take this on myself. I am disappointed in society.
No, Tim. Are you ever going to see the Emoji Movie?
What's that, Lou?
Are you ever going to see the Emoji Movie?
Probably not.
I think now you have to. You got to find out what everybody's so excited about.
Okay, yeah, we'll Girls Trip in its second weekend out did another $19 million, brought its total to 65.
Yay!
Atomic Blonde with a very poor showing, 18.2 for its first week. I thought that was going to do a lot better than it did. Number five is Spider-Man this week. In its fourth week, it brought another $13 million in. Its total is now 278, so it's getting right up there. I think it's worthwhile talking about Wonder Woman one more time.
Yeah.
Its total is now 395. Excuse me. And it's going to be the 27th movie to cross that $400 million mark.
Impressive. Wow.
Ever. So it'll be up there in rarefied air, I guess, really.
What's the first movie of 2017?
Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, all right.
With almost $100 million more than Wonder Woman. And I think it's just over $500
million. Wow.
Well, you get the kids in there.
Yeah.
Can't get the kids to Wonder Woman.
And I got to say that even though Spider-Man, after 4 weeks, is almost to $300 million, it's not going to – I don't think it's going to reach $400 in the domestic box office.
I don't think so. They sold out quite a bit after that fourth week, you know.
Yeah, this upcoming week's take is bound to be under $10 million. So
– yeah.
Right.
It's in the decline right now where it's just not going to – produce that much more. So I don't think Spider-Man is going to catch up. Wonder Woman knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, no, which I'm happy about. I mean, I'm glad to see Wonder Woman's done what it's done. I think it's a great movie. I can't wait for the second one. So,
for real.
Next week in the theaters, we're going to get The Dark Tower.
Yes.
Which I'm still nervous about.
I'm pumped. Even though I haven't made it through the first book, I don't really... I find it hard to read.
And I've been doing a little more like reading on things here. I don't want to know any spoilers, but I'm trying to figure out where this fits in with the whole...
No, it comes after everything.
Book series. Yeah, it's a sequel to the book series.
Which is tricky for new people to the series.
Yeah. Well, considering the series is what, 8 or 9, 8 books long?
Yeah, but they're small. They're like really thin books. Why is that funny? They're thinner books.
No, they're not. Some of them are huge.
Well, the one I have is super thin. The first Dark Tower book is really thin.
The first one, The Gunslinger, is small as they come, but...
I haven't gotten to the other ones.
When I'm looking at, audiobooks, and granted, I'm not reading the book, but the audiobooks are, 14, 15, 20 hours long. It's like, oh my gosh.
Some of the books in the series, like, they actually come with their own carrying straps.
They're they have sizable. To. Yeah.
I only have the first one. I was judging it on the first one. That's my bad. I can't make it through the first one. I mean, I think I'll like it. I haven't gotten over that. You know, like,
I enjoyed the first one. In fact, I just started reading the first one again, actually. I wanted to go through and read it, but now I'm not going to get through much of the stuff before the movie comes out, so I'm going to kind of give up for now. But what makes me kind of wonder what's going on here is we get this movie, which is a sequel to the book series. Right. And then we're getting a TV series, which is based on, like, the third book, I think, in the series.
We're getting a TV series?
Yeah, that's coming.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
based on the Wizard of Glass book. So, you know, there's so much story to tell. I don't know how you do this in motion picture or, you know, visual arts format. I mean, this would be, you know, seasons and seasons of television long. I just don't think you could make a story out of this and do it well on screen.
Well, and also, if they're jumping ahead to a sequel of the book series and then going backwards to the actual, like, meat of the book series, that seems sort of disjointed, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, the TV, the movie is actually for everybody. So it's not really just fans of the book series. It's about everything in general. Mm. You know, it's a mainstream type movie.
It's a broad scope, Dark Tower.
Right, right. So you don't even have to have read the books to enjoy that, from what I've been told.
Well, do you think fans are going to be happy with that? Fans of the series? That's why you're nervous.
Are fans of a book ever happy with a movie?
I'm a huge Harry Potter book fan, and I love the movies. So, I mean,
okay,
and
Lord of the Rings. I never read the books, so yeah, I never read the books on Harry Potter, but yeah.
And Lord of the Rings, both. I think Lord of the Rings movies are one of the most faithful adaptations of a book series.
True, true.
So I think you can do it right, but I think you can also screw it up. I liked the Hunger Games books, and I liked the movies, so. But I take them as individual things, so I'm a little bit more forgiving, I think.
Yeah, and I'm just not a big fan of movie adaptations of most of King's stuff. They don't usually follow things very close.
I don't watch his scary stuff. I don't like him.
I mean, Misery was probably one of the better film adaptations.
Misery was so good.
I won't watch that. No.
But the book was even more than the movie was. Yeah. I remember reading the book and just cringing when I'm like, oh my God, oh, they did that to him?
No, Misery is not really scary. I mean, it's more psychological thriller type of thing. It's a really good movie. Really, really well done film.
Definitely.
I probably still won't see it.
In addition to Dark Tower, we have Detroit, Wind River, and Kidnap.
I actually really want to see Kidnap. I love me some Halle Berry.
Yeah, the stuff I've been seeing recently looks pretty good about that. Detroit, I'm not sure I want to go see it in the theater, but I do want to see the movie.
I just had to look up Kidnap because I had not heard of it.
You should watch the trailer.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. It wasn't in our movie draft.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. You're right.
Should have been.
I don't know. Halle Berry, it looks okay. It'll make, you know, $12 million in its first week.
I saw a more extended trailer, I think, in front of Girls Trip, and I was really more interested in it after seeing that extended trailer than the first trailer I saw for it. It made me, it looked a lot more badass, like a lot more action from Halle Berry trying to get her kid back, and like, I was like, oh yeah, I'm on board with this movie.
I'm going to revise that down. I say $8 million for its first week.
Okay.
Oh, it'll do more than that.
You think so?
Short change, so. Halle Berry.
Well, you know, this is also coming from the man that bid what, $26 on Nut Job 2?
Yeah,
I had no choice.
We can't take his There's judgment always a seriously. Choice,
I was bullied into it. That's what I'm gonna go with.
You were. You certainly were.
Okay.
Wind River. By the way, you mentioned that's one of my movies. I have no idea why, but it's one of the movies that I got in the movie draft. So go Wind River.
That looks pretty good. I mean, have you seen the trailer for it?
Probably. But it's that unmemorable.
Such faith in this movie. If you see one movie this summer, people, see Wind River. Tim says it's going to be great.
See, I wasn't in the movie draft to win. That's the thing.
Clearly not. No one thinks you were. Nobody thinks
you were. Doing the movie draft this time was like herding cats, so we'll just leave it at that.
Oh, that's right. Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, yep. Avengers reunite.
Okay. You know, it's nothing new with
that
the Avengers.
That is the tagline.
Oh, boy. Well, let's get right into the news. First thing I thought was pretty interesting. You guys heard much about HBO's Confederate, the new series they got working?
Just a little bit.
I only saw the hashtag trending yesterday.
Well, that's kind of what caught my eye, too, was this whole fervor over this. And I guess the hashtag of... what was it? No Confederate? Was that the hashtag?
Yeah.
Kind of started trending. It was number one in the U.S. during Game of Thrones this week. And people were kind of up in arms over this new series coming out on HBO, which is an alternate timeline story for kind of what if the Southern states seceded from the Union successfully and had their own, you know, nation state where slavery was legal. And people are kind of up in arms over this because of the whole, you know, how it'll be treated, how they're going to portray, you know, slaves in this story. And I just don't get all the anger over this. I mean, it's a television show about a, you know, pseudo history that can happen. And you know, knowing HBO and how they do things and how top-notch they produce television series, they're going to handle this well. I mean, I don't see anything about this being, oh, let's just make the slaves out to be this and we're going to, you know, we're not going to take our care with this. We're going to make it look stupid. No, HBO does really, really good stuff. I mean, I don't think I can remember anything that they've done that hasn't, you know, whether or not I liked it or not, but it hasn't been a top-notch produced series.
Yeah. I agree. I have a lot of confidence in HBO being able to handle this very well. And, you know, I think their goal in this, even though this is an alternate history type of story, is to show and emphasize the evils of slavery and the struggle of the people who are involved in it, not only as slaves, but the people who advocated for them. I think it makes for a very compelling story. It's just like we were talking before we started recording about Roots, you know, and they've done the original Roots and then they redid it, and both are very popular, and it's an incredibly horrible and unfortunate scar, not only on American history, but the history of so many countries around the world, and continues to be. I mean, there's still places around the world where slavery is a thing.
I guess I think the difference between Roots and this is that Roots is actual history, and this, you know, like, so, I mean, yes, the sort of like comparison can be there because it is, you know, but that's, I do think there's a difference. That I was telling you guys before, this book called Underground Airline by Ben Winters. It's the story of if Lincoln was assassinated before his inauguration and how slavery continues into present day. And so that the idea is that there's four states that still have slavery and the rest of the states in the Union don't. And so there's hard borders and there's, you know, companies that will trade across the borders and companies that won't, and sort of you know, there's human trafficking today, so there's a lot of companies that come out against it and are ethical brands, and it's sort of that idea of like the ethical brands and then the people who are willing to, you know, work with the slave trade. And so that book is a really interesting book, and I don't know anything about Confederate and if it's going to take sort of that look at it and look through the lens of our society today to judge our past, to judge what we did. And I think from that perspective, it's a really interesting way to say, like, we're not brushing this under the rug. This happened, and it's a horrible part of our history, and it's something that we need to remember every single day. And I think looking through the hashtag, I think the thing that's hard, and I think I completely get, is in a post-2016 election time period where this feels really, really a little too real and a little bit too, you know, like just a little bit too potential. You know what I mean? It just feels, sure, and I sure. think yeah. mm-hmm. from what I'm reading, it feels like that. And so this show is not just, oh, a great story that we want to see or don't want to see. It's now it's like, it's tied up in the political fervor of everything. And so whenever that happens, it makes it a lot harder to distinguish between it's a story or it's sort of like, you know, how are they going to make sure not to glorify the Confederacy in any way, shape, or form, even though mm-hmm. they win the war. And I think that's a really tough line to walk. I agree. HBO is a great network. And I think, you know, I watch John Oliver all the time. And so you see, like, that they aren't, I just don't think that they're going to be like, yay, Confederates, you know? I just,
right, right.
I would I mean, hope not. If they do, then they got a bigger problem, and I will yeah. never watch it if that's
and,
the tone of it.
And if they do that, and it's handled wrong, people won't watch the show, and people will leave, you know, and not watch HBO. I mean,
yeah.
you know, they've got a vested interest in making this, you know, correctly in putting out a good product. In fact, you know, they came out after all this outcry on Twitter. And I'll kind of read the statement they have here. So it says, you know, we have great respect for the dialogue and concern being expressed around Confederate. We have faith that the writers, Nichelle, Dan, David, and Malcolm, will approach the subject with care and sensitivity. The project is currently in its infancy, so we hope that people will reserve judgment until something to see. And I think that's an important point. I mean, if this does, you know, come right out and it hasn't picked up, you know, directly to a series, it's not going to be a pilot. You know, let's take a look at it before we just, you know, shame this for the name of it and not give it its due.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a lot of opportunity here for them to make a lot of correlations to struggles that a lot of people, unfortunately, both in the U.S. and around the world, experience now. You know, whether it is some form of slavery or some other form of oppression, things that we might see here in the U.S., things that we might see in other places around the world, I think there's a lot of opportunity for that kind of stuff. So I think it can be a very important story, even though it's alternate history, alternate timeline. I think there's just some terrific opportunity with it.
Mm. I do, too. I hope it does well. I hope it comes out, and I hope it... you know, doesn't upset a lot of people. I think it's going to be a good story and maybe teach some lessons.
Yeah. I guess I'll say it's not really something I ever would have wanted. I don't think it's like a show I would have been like, yeah, I want that True. Show.
Yeah, I mean, True. It wouldn't be something I would have thought of, but now that it's coming out, I mean, I said this before we started recording, I like alternate history stories. I mm-hmm. like stories that they set things on its ear or, you know, what would have happened if, you know, Hitler was killed at this point instead of later on, or what would have changed if this person turned left instead of right. I mean, I think those things are fascinating to see what kind of ripple effects you'd have. And if, you know, a Southern states did secede from the Union, you know, what other ramifications would there be? I mean, not just slavery. Yeah. I'm sure there's other stuff going on in this, too, that would be interesting to see and play out. I think those are fascinating questions we ask ourselves. And, you know, what happened if someone took an extra couple of minutes to have a cup of coffee that morning before they went out the door and didn't get by the car? I mean, it's
sure.
there's a lot of those kind of stories that are just really fascinating to me.
We were talking about Man in the High Castle
yes.
as one mm-hmm. of those. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and something like this, there's a lot of, I think, very interesting socioeconomic issues that can be explored. It does portray a prolonging of something absolutely horrible in our history and the mistreating of people,
right.
which is, I think, a hard pill to swallow. You know, but this is fiction, you know, it's this is an alternate timeline. So it is fiction. And Lizzie brought it up earlier again, before we recorded and we chatted a little bit about this. You know, we kind of do qualify the fact that, you know, we're three white people talking about this.
Right.
True.
And, you know, and you know, so that obviously comes with our own perspective on things. And, you know, we by no means want to take away from the perspectives that other people might have of this.
Yeah. Well, and I think it offers, I mean, again, if I hadn't have read Underground Airlines and really read through the way that they present the alternate timeline, I don't know that I would have really, that I would really want to see it, just because it's a really divisive thing to, mm-hmm. you know, even though it's alternate, fictional, whatever we could say to try to justify making it or not making, whatever. It's divisive. It is already. And especially given the time that we're living in right now, it is. It automatically is. And I'm sure HBO is aware of that. And if they weren't, then they're sure as hell are now. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, as a white woman in this world, that's the only perspective I can come at the world with, is that this opens up a conversation that maybe wouldn't have been open otherwise, or we can really take a hard... I love to take a hard look at that. I love to say, like, you know what? It's one of the things that... So my cousin lived in the Netherlands for a long time, and they went over to Germany and did, like, sort of a Holocaust, like, tour of Germany. And the German people are taught in school to be ashamed of what happened.
Yeah.
And really, they have to continually, through their history, take a hard look at what their people did. And they are they're not allowed to walk through life with the privilege of saying, like, oh, how great we are and we didn't do anything wrong. And yet we mm-hmm. are not taught to be, to walk with a heavy head for the history that we have on our backs. And I think that we should. Right. I think that that's mm-hmm. a scar that all people in this country, black or white, have on their back, and white people don't walk around with it, and black people do, and that sucks. And I just think that, I think if there's a way to sort of add a little weight to the shoulders of people who don't have any in any way, shape, or form, then maybe that's something that this could do. I don't know. I just think that to have the conversation open is a good thing, because we should not just walk around thinking that we don't have anything to atone for. We do. And mm-hmm. so I think if that's something this show can do, great. If it doesn't do that, then it's doing the wrong thing and it shouldn't be made. That's how I feel about it.
Right. Yeah. No, I totally agree with you, Lizzie. Yeah, I really do. And I think you're absolutely right, though. If we don't kind of remember these kind of things and bring them to light, you know, they always say those who don't learn from the past are doomed to repeat it.
Right.
And we don't want to have that happen ever again or anything even close to that. So knowing the pitfalls is definitely something that I think would be a good thing for the show to do.
Well, and like Tim was mentioning, we're actually living in a time period where there are more slaves now than ever in the history of our civilization, with in a different way. And so to really acknowledge that slavery is not over with, it's represented in a different way. I actually have attended meetings for the Florida Abolitionist Society, and you learn just how much slavery is still really, really prevalent. It just looks very different. It's much more shady, like shaded, in that it's not people with, you know, having their slaves outside on a chain where you can see. It's not visible slavery. It's really under sort of an underground human trafficking and slave labor and child labor and all that kind of thing. So to even go further and acknowledge our past, but acknowledge what's happening right now, and that sometimes the products that we buy or the services that we accept are actually helping slavery in any way, shape, or form. It's true. It's 100% true. And if you don't take a deeper look at where your money goes, then you are part of the problem. And so this can be another way to shed light on that. I hope. I don't know. Again, I don't want to say too much about the show before I really know more about it. Just the surface part of it really raises some very important questions for our society as Americans. You know, we talk about freedom. Do we really believe it? So,
yeah,
that's how I feel about it. I get really on a high horse about slavery just because.
No, that's fine. I mean, we all need our passions, and I think that's fantastic that you're passionate about this.
Yeah,
it's really been a while before we have any more detail about this, but I think we're all both. I think we're all looking forward to that now. So.
Yeah, I really try to shop a lot of brands that don't support slavery, because there are so many that do, and so I'm really aware of the brands that I represent and the just the products that I use because they're so just so prevalent, and we just don't know as Americans, or we just turn a blind eye, I think, sometimes. So I think it's a great thing for us to continue to talk about as this comes out. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's something that would be, you know, beneficial to get out more, because I don't think a lot of people know, really. Like you said, we turn a blind eye to it, we buy what we want, and we don't see where that money goes.
Right. And especially as Americans, freedom is part of our entire life, is what we say it is.
Yeah.
And is it?
But if you don't look at what you're doing and who you're doing it with, that could be, you could be doing things that are detrimental to other people's lives. So.
Right.
Well, while we're on the HBO topic, they had a little bit of a cyber attack recently.
Hmm.
HBO said they were hit by a massive cyber attack by hackers that stole what HBO says is an unknown amount of data. Unreleased episodes of Ballers, Room 104, and I guess the script for next week's Game of Thrones.
Goodness. Lizzie,
were you involved? Because I know you're a big Game of Thrones fan. Were you?
I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan. I'm actually, after this, I'm going to watch it with my cousin. I watch it on Mondays because I don't have HBO, so I have to rely on the kindness of family. I'm a huge HBO fan. I'm caught up to, except for last night's episode. So, I mean, I don't read spoilers and I avoid them at all costs. So I haven't.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
But, you know, seen anything.
This is becoming more and more prevalent in today's society that data is getting stolen.
I was going to say those exact words.
Yeah. I mean, what, Sony had a leak recently, right? With a couple movies. And now, you know, HBO is losing episodes of shows. The hackers claim to have stolen 1.5 terabytes of data.
Holy bananas.
No kidding.
That's all the data.
You know, where is this? I mean, they couldn't steal stuff before everything was digitized because you would have to break in and steal, you know, a box of film. But, you know, what does this do to companies that are trying to produce this kind of stuff now? You know, HBO can probably absorb this. They've got some deep pockets. But, you know, smaller companies, smaller studios that are going to lose stuff in these kind of attacks, it could put them out of business. I just don't get the whole... And I know this isn't fans trying to get the data and get it out there. This is, you know, hackers trying to destroy a company. But I don't know. I just have such a hard time with everybody's need to find out information, need to find this stuff out, and seeking this data now that it's out there, because it's out there. You know, I'm like you, Lizzie. I don't want to know beforehand. I mean, I don't want to know spoilers. I don't want to know what's going to happen. I don't want to see an episode in an unfinished version coming out, you know, in a couple weeks. I'd rather not.
I actually get really mad when I know too much about a project going into it. I'm like, why? I want to actually experience the project. I don't want to know all this stuff. Like, it makes me really mad. So, I mean, I haven't seen any of the spoilers, and I hope not to. And I don't, like, just, I don't know how to, I don't know how anybody could shut that down. Like, that, nobody wants that. Stop it.
Yeah, I mean, cybersecurity is a big thing, obviously, and you're not going to be able to stop all of it. But, I mean, I just don't get this kind of an attack.
We need Atomic Blonde cyber version. Let her loose on crazy attackers. That's what we
need. No, Tim, did we lose you? You've been very quiet. Are you behind this attack?
No, I am not at all behind this.
It's Tim!
I was like, he got awful quiet. I'm like, did he do this and we just blew it out of the water on him?
No, I mean, I just really don't know. There's much more to add. You guys pretty much said it all. And you know, Sony a few years ago when they had their big hack, they were hit really hard with a lot of things. And, you know, hopefully this doesn't have a whole lot of impact on HBO. This is just something that we have seen over a number of years now, hitting a lot of different companies and stealing a lot of different information, whether it's, you know, personal information of credit card holders or, customers, that kind of thing, or proprietary information like the Sony hack or the mm-hmm. HBO hack in this case. And yeah, it's a big thing. You know, it's a big issue worldwide that we need to figure out how to stop it. And it's a tough thing. It's you know, you guys know the world that I exist in terms of dealing with disasters and such. It's mm-hmm. you know, one thing to figure out what's going to stop a fire or a flood or you know, how to best deal with something like a hurricane. But when you're dealing with a human element, with a criminal element, with terrorists, with hackers, with these intentional human acts, it's a constantly evolving thing because, well, you know, we can build a proverbial wall of cyber defenses, and these people over time are then going to figure out how to go through, over, under, or around that wall. So then you have to build a bigger wall or a deeper wall or a wider wall, or you need to put up razor wire, or, you know, and you got to have cameras and machine guns and tanks and you know, ticked off Lizzie or, you know.
Yeah, don't mess with that. Don't mess with that.
Whatever it is that you got to put out there in cyberspace to stop these. But every single time you put up something, you have hundreds, if not thousands, of people around the world who are going to try to figure out how to get around it. And it's so hard to stay ahead of that curve. It's a huge, huge challenge that, you know, we, I think all of us, you know, can potentially fall victim to.
Mm. Well, I mean, like I said, sad for HBO. I hope it doesn't hurt them too bad. And I wish this kind of thing just wouldn't happen. But hey. A couple weeks ago, we talked about a secret Star Trek project that Nicholas Meyers was working on. You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't much detail about it, but it sounds like some stuff is coming out now. As we get closer to Star Trek Discovery coming out, and I'm starting to see more trailers and TV ads. In fact, there's a trailer ahead of Atomic Blonde this weekend for it, which I was pretty surprised about. I think CBS is really trying to push their whole all-access thing and hope it's not the debacle they think it's going to be. But yeah, so this new series is... I almost wanted to put this in the What Were They Thinking category this week. You guys are familiar with Khan, right, from the series?
Khan!
Okay, so clearly you are.
Duh. Who are you talking to, Lou?
I know, I'm sorry. So, you know, obviously, for those who don't know, Khan was from the original series. He was in one episode called Space Seed, and he was the head of a group of, genetically engineered supermen, I guess. You know, not like they could fly, but, you know, genetically engineered to be stronger, faster, better, smarter, you know, than the average person. They were taking over the world, and they were kind of exiled. You know, Kirk and crew came across their sleeper ship, woke them up. They tried taking over the Enterprise, and at the end, Kirk exiled them to a planet and said, "You know what? Here, you guys, if you're so smart, make your own society, do your own thing, and let's see what the experiment will provide us in a few years." Well, he never checked back, and in the events of the Wrath of Khan, we found out that the neighboring planet blew up. Their planet became a desert wasteland. They were struggling to survive, and now he's, you know, trying to avenge himself on Kirk. But this series is going to take place, I guess, in that 15-year period between Space Seed and the Wrath of Khan.
That's a great opportunity.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's interesting, like a Khan backstory.
But there's... Okay, well, tell me why then, because I'm perplexed. I was thinking this is like a really dumb idea, and I love Khan. I'm a big Trek fan, but I'm like, okay, so they maroon these, 35 people on this planet, and the planet becomes a desert wasteland, so they have to really struggle to survive, and that's probably the main thrust of what this series is going to be about, but I'm like, how much content can you get out of that? And will it be... enjoyable.
I think there's a lot of opportunity for stories there. I mean, we will see obviously what they do on the planet and how they're dealing with their own people. They may be encountering other people who stumble upon this planet. I think you have a lot of socio-political types of things.
See, I don't think you can have anybody stumble upon that planet, because if they did, Khan would be off planet then. He's smart enough to be able to maneuver that into, I'm getting out of here and going after Kirk. So nothing can change. It's going to be him and the 35 guys they were marooned with, most of which we have no idea who they are. You know,
well, but maybe develop characters the other, there. But maybe someone of that 35, you know, takes the ship and runs off with it. And I think you have some stories of survival. I mean, to me, it almost seems kind of Walking Dead-ish. You take the zombies away, but you have this story of survival, and it's very sociological and. Mm-hmm. You know, how people are dealing with this, but you have this group of, you know, very highly intelligent people, and how would they deal with these different things? And despite their intellect, there's still bound to be conflict. And I think it can be interesting. I don't know that it has longevity to it. You know, if they did it as a mini series, I think it could be interesting, but I don't know that you're going to get... a full series, much less multiple seasons.
Obviously. Well, they're talking about this being a limited series, so that does bode well in my mind that they're going to have a beginning, middle, and end, and that's it, you know?
Sure.
First of all, it should be Ricardo Montalban or nobody, because he's the only Khan. That's going to be
exceedingly difficult.
Around. He's the only Khan. Hashtag only Khan. And, second of all, it's definitely not going to be The Walking Dead, and it's absolutely going to be Star Trek Gilligan Island. Because...
Oh my gosh.
They can't get that planet, but they can have all kinds of adventures, like trying to use the coconut phone to call the Enterprise.
Lizzie, you win all the points tonight.
Thank you.
That was all the points. All of them. Every single one of them.
That's what they should call this show. Star Trek Gilligan's Island. Oh.
Oh my gosh. Star Trek. That's perfect.
Khan's planet. Noonien's planet. That's what it should be called. And then one of them can be the professor. And who would be the skipper?
A three-light-year tour.
Look, they already have a theme song. The Who can record it.
Oh, gosh.
Come on.
Wow.
Don't say you wouldn't watch that. Also, can we talk about the word in-between, Quill?
I thought that was pretty unique. I saw that online.
That's the best word ever invented.
I would love to take credit for that, but I did not. I think I saw it on Screen Rant. It was like an in-between Quill. That's cool.
I don't know exactly what it is, but something in this conversation from the last... What? I paused there for editing so that could get taken out.
Okay, good.
The truck going by my house.
I was like, what was that?
Something in the last 3 minutes here is worthy of extrapolating for the show title. I'm not exactly sure what it was.
It's Noonien's I think it's planet.
Something like Khan Gilligan's Island or something like that. I don't know, but it's in there.
It's Star Trek : Gilligan's Island.
There we go.
Yeah.
And we have a show title.
Parentheses, Noonien's planet.
And the thing, you know what bothers me most about this is that I love the character of Khan.
Yeah, they're gonna mess it up.
And that's what I'm worried about. I don't want any more story. I mean, I don't need to know what happened on a planet. He talked about that. He talked about the little creepy core thing in the year. We lost so many people. We lost to that, you know. Did he lose his wife to that? I think he said
I don't remember.
I don't remember now either. But you know, he talked about the struggles. And okay, yeah, big struggles. It's a very, very bad thing that happened here. But. I mean, how much are we going to get story-wise out of this? I mean...
Stop forgetting the coconut phone. It's very important. You can do so much with coconuts. Look at how much I did with coconuts. All the things.
That's true.
You can't make a ship out of coconuts, but they couldn't make a raft out of coconuts either, so, you know.
You're going to go to space.
Also, haven't they messed up Khan enough? I mean, I like Star Trek, whatever the second one's called. I like it okay, but like... Like, and I like Benedict Cumberbatch, but he's not Khan, and he's not Ricardo Montalban. Nobody is. And so, like,
with his Corinthian leather.
Yeah. And with all the, like, you know, like, hide and seek about is it con, is it not con? Oh, it's con.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't care for that lead up to that, right? But.
Right. That messed it up. So leave con alone. Like, Ricardo Montalban doesn't deserve that.
You know, I never thought I would say we don't need this Star Trek series, but.
No, we don't.
We don't need the Star Trek series. I mean, I'll watch anything Star Trek, even if it's bad stuff. I mean, I watched Enterprise. I mean, come on.
I was going to say same, but I didn't watch Enterprise, so I won't.
All right, you guys have actually convinced me this is a stupid idea.
Oh, good.
I've conformed. I have stepped in line. You're welcome.
Yes.
Yes. You're welcome, Tim. That's what you mean. You're
it's
welcome.
It's not often we get Tim to, you know, change his mind. That's impressive.
Yeah. The power. The power of us, Lou.
Ta-da.
What shall we do with these powers next?
What was that, Lizzie?
I said, what shall we do with these powers next?
Ooh. Okay. We'll have to make a list.
I think Liz already has a list.
Oh, yeah.
And it's dangerous.
It's called my taking over the world list. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. What are we going to do tonight, Brain?
Exactly. I'm not Pinky, though. Tim is Pinky, obviously.
Wow. And
if one of us is Pinky, it's Tim.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking? I used to love those.
I love Animaniacs. Okay. That's a treasure. Yeah, I think this, unless they make it really funny and it is like Gilligan's Island, I think it's not going to be. I don't really see the point for it.
And the thing that gets me most about this is it's Nicholas Meyers. I mean, he's the guy that did the Wrath of Khan.
Oh, well, okay. Then maybe we need to give him a little bit of credit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe he thinks he's a one-trick pony. He's going back to that same pony again. It's like, no. No, you shouldn't do this.
Maybe he has other tricks.
Let's see. Yeah, Nicholas Meyers, he director of Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, and he did Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country.
Same pony, new trick.
Oh, boy.
In other news, I'm going to pitch my Gilligan's Island story to some network, and we're going to make that happen. New web series. Star Trek Gilligan's Island.
There you go. Okay, so our last story we have here delves back into a universe that I think at least two of us really enjoy.
One of us doesn't know anything about it.
Okay, so two of us really enjoy it. One of us is just out in left field.
I'm not against it. I just don't know anything about it.
Now, Lizzie, you haven't seen either of the Wick movies?
No, which is surprising given my love for Keanu Reeves. Love.
Oh. Boyfriend?
Boyfriend, no? in training.
Okay.
I can't put him in the same category as Chris Evans. I just don't have the heart to do it. I love him, but it can't happen.
So Tim,
half of Liz's Twitter timeline is Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Is it really? Oh, gosh.
She's
oh,
on gosh. My, he's my vision board.
Vision board, wow.
Yeah, he is the vision board. There's nothing else on it. Chris Evans pictures. It's the secret. If you put it in the universe, it will happen.
Well, there you go. Hey, everybody's got to have a dream, right?
He's my dream.
Oh, gosh. Tim, why don't you save us and talk about John Wick?
Go ahead.
John Wick. Okay, so there is really what's shaping out to be a John Wick universe. That's kind of coming together here. So we've had the first film. We've had John Wick 2. We've talked, I think, a couple months ago about the TV series that's going to be coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's going to be called The Continental, which revolves then around the hotel or chain of hotels, as we found out from John Wick 2, that exists. And now there is another movie that's coming out. It is not a John Wick film, but it is being placed in the universe of John Wick. So apparently we will see the Continental and maybe some of these other characters that we have come to know from the first two films. And this one is rumored, apparently going to be called Ballerina. And it centers on a woman assassin, very similar to John Wick. Who it's the article that I read basically says that the story and her backstory kind of sets her up as like a La Femme Nikita type,
mm-hmm.
which I think is really exciting. I'm really looking forward to this. I think it can be totally badass and a lot of fun. And I think the John Wick universe is absolutely worth expanding and exploring more of. I love the first film. When the second film came out and we got to see more of, I mean, just John Wick himself was awesome to see, but the second film explored so much more of this society of assassins and how they functioned and how they had these relationships together. And it explored more about the Continental and the rules of the Continental and how the Continental works and in relationship mm-hmm. to these assassins and the other resources that are available to them. So I'm totally stoked about the TV series and now having another film out there that centers around a different assassin and just can tell a completely different storyline. For as much as I love the John Wick storyline, now give me another storyline in this universe. Because I'm totally stoked over it. I'm really, really excited about it.
You know, I think the thing that got me about the whole John Wick universe portion of it was that we don't know really anything about him or the society, and we're learning it not being spoon-fed to us, but we're learning it as it occurs.
Yeah.
So it's fun for me in that respect, because we're not just being, you know, okay, let's do a scene now specifically just to tell you how he gets his weapons. No, it's part of the story, you know, and it's great. Yes. The thing I thought was pretty interesting about this story that you brought here, I was reading in here, and the writer for this, Shay Hatton, they were saying it's kind of a Cinderella story for him. He graduated college in 2016, was working as a writer's assistant for Robert Downey Jr.'s production company when mm-hmm. this script got picked up. I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's awesome.
You're a year out of school, and it's like, wow, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's so cool that, you know, the first John Wick film came out, and I admit I never saw it in the theater
when it came out. No, I didn't either.
And I don't think a lot of people did. It's one of those things that had a little bit of a following, and then when it got released for, you know, streaming and purchase and whatnot, it then kind of built up this cult following, and I heard you guys talking about it and a lot of other people, and I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to see this movie, and I saw it, and I was blown away by it, and the second one comes out, and I'm like, oh, this is incredible.
Yep. I mean, I haven't seen the second one yet. I just haven't had time, but this wasn't on my radar at all until we were doing the Flick Fights podcast, and one of the guests was like, yeah, we got to add John Wick to our site, and I'm like, oh, I don't know anything about that. It was on mm-hmm. Netflix, and I watched that afternoon. I'm like, how did I miss this? I mean, this thing was amazing.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where I didn't even know about it until somebody brought it up to me, and I'm like, this is really, really good.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to learning more about the whole John Wick assassin underworld universe. Yep. Underground universe, underworld, yeah, so underground.
I think, yeah. So, yeah, just for food for thought here for you, the first John Wick movie domestic gross total was $43 million.
Oh wow! Yeah.
So it didn't do gangbusters at the box. So opening weekend did $14 million.
Wow.
So it was not very well known when it first came out, but. The second movie did double that. It did $92 million domestically. So,
mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the second movie, but then getting the TV series and this new movie, Ballerina. It sounds pretty awesome.
I think you guys convinced me to watch it too. I think
I do. I do have to warn you.
Why?
I have to warn you because I didn't warn my wife up front enough.
About what?
The opening is very rough in the beginning of the movie of why he kind of goes on this rampage.
Just
say that. I'm not going to spoil it because it's powerful, but you might need a box of tissues.
Like too graphic for girls is what you're saying?
No, not at all.
better not be.
No, I'm not saying that. It's just
not a girl thing, because I will tell you, when I first saw it, yeah. I'm like, holy crap, what in the world am I watching? Why am I watching this? This is horrible. Why would anyone do that?
Like, they didn't just do that on screen. Yes, they did.
Horrifying in general, I see.
But it creates the motivation for the character, an undeniable motivation. And you as the viewer say, oh my gosh, if this happened to me, I would be John Wick. I would kill everybody in exactly the way that he does it. It's an undeniable motivation. So,
well, now I'm really intrigued.
Yeah. Fortunately, what happened in the first movie does not happen in the second. The second basically picks up right where the first movie left off.
Okay.
And it's just all action, and it's just very funny.
I have an iTunes gift card sitting here on my desk that I'm going to probably use to buy John Wick 2 right away. So,
Right now. In fact, while we're recording, you can do that.
I like that you mentioned La Femme Nikita, too, in there, because I like La Femme Nikita. So.
I love La Femme Nikita. And I've seen several of the different stories of La Femme Nikita that they've done. And yeah, I love the concept of it. I love the stories of it. Some really, really great portrayals. And I think a story like that has a lot of potential in this universe. So
interesting.
But Lou, when I'm on my Patreon thing, that's your opportunity to go get John Wick 2. Okay. You'll have a few. You'll have
he's
a few
on
minutes.
It for a
few
while. Minutes.
Yeah, there
so.
We go. I know he is.
I liked the WB's Maggie Q Nikita. I thought that was a really great Nikita, just for a mini tangent. Also, it's very interesting to not be into a fandom and like listen to someone talk about a fandom, because it's literally like another language. But I always like that, and I think that's probably what people think when I go on my tangent. So it's like interesting to be on the other side of it. Because what fandom have we talked about that I don't really have that you guys have yet? I'm sure there are some, but there's not a lot of fandoms that I'm not like, or at least haven't watched, even if I don't like it. You know, I still know this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just funny to be, like, listening to your... I got no idea, like, what's a ballerina got to do with all of that? And, like, you know, I'm like, what's happening? But I'm interested to find out.
We have no idea about the ballerina either, why it's called the ballerina. There's no particular story on that that's been released, and it's probably going to be something saved for the movie.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
But still, that's the kind of like, you know a lot of the other things. And so that makes it like a teaser to know what's it called. But I don't know anything. It's just interesting. I find it very fascinating. Continue.
Go watch the movies.
I'm going to watch them.
Right now. Do it.
No, not right now. Not right now. I'm going to go watch Game of Thrones. And I'm in the middle of a Merlin rewatch, so I'm very busy.
Okay, well, let's get you off to see Game of Thrones then.
Game of Thrones!
I think we can kind of wrap this up. If anybody has any feedback for us, I'd love to hear from you guys. Send us an email. You can do that by just sending an email to randomchatter@randomchatter.com. Any comments on the show, any of the comments we talked about, I think we're way off base, please let us know. I'd love to hear from you guys.
And you can also find us online at facebook.com/randomchatternetwork and also on Twitter @randomchatter. And you can find me at Nerd in the City on Twitter, and you can find Lou
on Twitter at my name. It's Lou Secchi, LouSecki.
And Tim
at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's. You can also find all of our shows on randomchatter.com. Visit the website. We have a new poll up there usually every few weeks. Fun polls about just, random nerdy stuff, or polls that give us information to kind of help us improve the stuff that we're doing. You can find information on all of our shows. We have a blog up there. We have all sorts of cool stuff in the blog that people have written. Some of it comes from hosts, some of it comes from listeners, some of it comes from our Slack members, our Patreon donors, all sorts of good stuff.
And you can also spread the word about all those great things that you have heard or seen, and leave reviews on iTunes or Stitchers, singular, just one Stitcher. There might be more than one, but just the one. And you can tell your friends about us too, if you have any.
Wow.
Some people don't have friends.
That was harsh.
I'm not saying these people don't have friends. I said, if you have any.
That's a little rough.
If you don't, folks, I'll be your friend.
All right, listen. People, of course you have friends. You have your own friends. You have friends within the Random Chatter group. And if you want to interact with those friends, you can pay them. Or you can pay us for the privilege of interacting with your friends.
Goodness.
You throw a little bit of money at us, patreon.com/randomchatter. We greatly appreciate any financial contribution that you can make to the network. It helps us keep the proverbial lights on, and you know, we feed the little hamsters that are in the wheel that kind of keep the internet thing going. If the hamsters die,
Don't talk about Derek that way.
We have hamsters?
Yes.
What's their names? Can I name one?
Yeah, you can name them, but I mean, you also have to help feed them, Liz, because actually you and I have had to have a conversation about that because you haven't been helping to feed them.
I feed my cat. And
two of them died last week.
I feed my cat.
And the internet got dim until like someone shoved another hamster in there. And I'm not even sure, you know, how long little, you know, Pete the hamster is going to last. Pete's an old one.
We named our hamster Pete?
He's the last
one. What's wrong with us?
Well, it was either that or Derek, and we didn't want to have two Derek.
So, yeah, Patreon. We totally got sidetracked with that.
Don't give me pets. I love them.
Oh, yeah, that first John Wick movie is going to be rough.
I already know there's a dog in it.
You already know what?
I already know. Isn't there a dog? It's a dog thing? Yeah, I already know.
Yeah.
Someone spoiled it. Now that you say that.
Liz.
What?
Do you want to talk about Patreon?
No, sorry. Keep going.
Okay. That's all right. That's fine.
My apologies. I'm just wondering.
Okay. So, people, patreon.com/randomchatter. You can throw us $1 a month. You can throw us $5, $10, $20 million a month, or just one lump sum $1 million thing. That's cool, too. We like that. Just $1 a month, which is the minimum donation, that gets you access to that Slack thing that we talk about. And what is Slack? Slack is like this online community. It's a chat room. We're actually a collection of chat rooms. And you get to interact with our hosts and our staff and a lot of our other Patreon contributors. And we talk about, gosh, darn near everything in those. And it's a lot of fun. And just do it. I don't need to say anything. Just do it.
I think if someone gives us $1 million, then we can let them name our hamster.
Yeah.
That's a really great perk.
The $1 million perk is to name the hamster. There you go.
Yeah, it's great. And we'll send you a hamster. They're sibling. to name.
You give us $1 million, we will send you a hamster.
This went off
the rails really bad.
Wow. I am so done.
This is why Tim's allowed to talk about Patreon and not me.
Well, I've never seen Tim at a loss for words. This is awesome.
You're welcome.
Okay, everybody. Wow. Well, I think at this point we're ready to sign off because I don't want to go buy hamsters, I guess. So I can't give you donations.
Holy yeah.
Okay, everybody, take care.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
That was fantastic.
Can't say we don't spend time laughing. We do.
You can't say that at all.
Can't. Oh, goodness. Cannot say it.
That was lovely.